song tonight, beautiful song. Whether trials come or cease, the key, keep me always on my knees. And if you're walking closely with the Lord, you're never rushing to the foxhole and making foxhole decisions. You know that God is there. And it's a tremendous reminder for us that everything that comes into our lives is filtered through the hands of our Almighty God. And so, wonderful song tonight. Thank you, Anna. Appreciate your ministry and song tonight. Take your Bibles and go back with me, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter number 13. 2 Samuel chapter number 13. Just as we did with the passage on David and Bathsheba, and looking at the choices that David made there in 2 Samuel chapter 11, and then the consequences that flowed from it, we come to this story in chapter 13, and it's important for us to really take our time in this story, because there's so much for us to learn. And I want you to remember that in the story of David and Bathsheba, that David basically quoted his own punishment. In chapter 12, before Nathan revealed the fact that he was the man, David said, "Whoever has taken this lamb will restore fourfold unto this other gentleman that's lost this lamb that was so precious." And in that case, he only had one. And so he said, who's ever done this, the rich man will restore to the poor man fourfold. And in fact, we find that that was the very judgment that God then used in the punishment of King David. And we find that he was going to lose four of his own boys. And we know the first child that passed away as a result of the sin with Bathsheba. And we read about that in the latter part of chapter 12. And now we've come into chapter 13. I preached a very simple message on the difference between a biblical friend and a biblical foe. I did that a number of weeks ago, probably before the Christmas season, on a Sunday night. And so we want to go further in this passage and consider this wicked act from Amnon. The Bible says here in 2 Samuel, different young man. 2 Samuel chapter number 13, in verse number 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom the son of David had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon the son of David loved her. So David had multiple wives, and from these multiple wives he had a number of different sons. Absalom and Tamar were full-blooded brother and sister. Amnon was a half-brother to Tamar. The Bible says in verse number 2, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. This was not love. This was not a sickness of love. This was lust. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her, but Amnon had a friend. You're in the habit of underlining things in the Word of God, and you've not yet underlined that phrase. That's a very significant phrase in the Word of God. Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, "Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said unto him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." And Jonadab said unto him, again, Jonadab is not a faithful biblical friend. He's actually a foe. But to this point, Amnon thinks him to be a friend. And Jonadab said unto him, "Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand." So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, "I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. She took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, Have out all men from me. And they went out every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, Bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thy hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said unto her, Come, lie with me, my sister. And she answered him, Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice. But being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. And Amnon said unto her, Arise, be gone. I want to break down this story and really seek to help each one tonight. And I do pray that we'll learn these lessons. As I mentioned in my opening prayer from these Old Testament and New Testament saints, looked at a New Testament saint this morning in the life of Peter and the lessons from his life. And tonight, looking at the lessons from Amnon. I want you to notice tonight, we'll spend our time here in this, Amnon's dilemma. Amnon's dilemma. Go all the way back to the beginning of the chapter. In verse number 1, it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Again, this was not a self-sacrificing type of agape love. This was lust in its truest form. And whatever had transpired in the connection between Amnon and Tamar, he allowed this lust to build and build and build to the point where the Bible says in verse number 2, that Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. Look at the last part of the verse, though. He thought it hard for him to do anything to her. It can't happen. I can't go down this path. This is the dilemma. This is him at the crossroads of temptation. What am I going to do when I'm facing this temptation? Well, let's look at his options. The first option is to just go ahead and feed the flesh. Feed the flesh. One of the easiest ways for us to comprehend the challenges that are there for our spiritual fleshly desires, spiritual not in the sense of spirit-filled and spirit-led, but the spiritual realm of things. One of the easiest ways for us to understand that realm is to understand some things in the physical realm. Okay? So let's put all of us tonight at the buffet restaurant, okay? When you're at the buffet restaurant and you pass certain items at the buffet, you're like, no, 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 maybe, no, no. Yes, 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 you know. This just recently happened in our family when we had a family get-together, and we met at the Golden Corral. Okay? And you're going, and my habit is to survey the entirety of the place first, okay? And I want to see everything that they're offering on that day, because some days are better than others. Some days are just always bad. You know what I'm talking about. And so I'm taking survey of everything at the Golden Corral, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, what do I want to fill up on? Okay, I don't want to fill up on that. I don't want to fill up on that. One time my dad was at the buffet, and he thought that the sour cream was whipped cream. And so he covered his ice cream with sour cream until he got back to the table and said, okay, no, that's not correct, you know. You see the cottage cheese in those kinds of settings, and you say, no, passing on that, not going to do that. You see the crab legs, nope, not going to do that. That's not real crab. That hasn't been crab in 20 years, you know. You see all those kinds of things, and you're just like, I'm willing to pass, willing to pass, willing to pass, willing to pass. Then you realize, okay, I'm an adult, so I need to start with a salad. And my philosophy of the salad is very little spinach, lettuce, and then all the toppings I can fit onto the plate. You know, I like that. Cheese, bacon bits, croutons, everything else that can go on top of it. And then somewhere in the bottom, there's a few pieces of spinach, you know, spinach lettuce or whatever they call that. But then we work our way over, and they're carving ham. Oh, you got to get some carved ham. That's good stuff. Oh, that's good. Oh, they've got pot roast and carrots and potatoes. Oh, that's going to be good. And so you fill up, and then you come by, and lo and behold, they've got chicken wings. And they don't just have regular chicken wings. They've got barbecue wings. They've got buffalo wings. They've got the regular wings. And so you have all these things. You're in a dilemma, aren't you? And then you're thinking this whole time, man, I came by, and there are a number of desserts that I'd like to have as well. But boy, I have eaten so much. Ooh, there's some empty spots right around my knee I could fill with some extra dessert, you know? And so you go back in, and then, oh, they have ice cream on in the machine. Oh, that's great stuff. And I look right off to the side of that ice cream machine, and they have liquid peanut butter. Don't follow me in those kinds of settings, because I'm likely to turn that peanut butter thing up and just go at it. Just me and the peanut butter jar. No need for ice cream in between, all right? And please, don't tell me tonight that peanut butter needs to be put on everything that's, you know, healthy and everything like this. No, don't desecrate peanut butter like that. Do it to mayonnaise or any other, you know, any other thing out there. But don't do that to my blessed peanut butter, okay? Peanut butter is going to be in heaven, I'm just telling you, all right? It's a spiritual insight that I have, okay? When we're in those settings, you and I both know what we should do versus what we can do. And we so often say to ourselves, you know, it's only once in a blue moon that I eat at a place like this, so it's not going to really harm me. We'll go to the mall after this and we'll walk it all off. Something along those lines. In so many ways, that analogy of that buffet is presented to us on the level of spiritual things, and we face a dilemma. What am I going to do? This week, you could very well face a dilemma, and you are faced with this challenge. What are you going to do with the dilemma? I don't know what it might be in your life. You don't know what it might be in my life. I don't know if it's something through my eye gate, something through my ear gate, some place that the devil would have me go and I know I shouldn't go. I don't know what you're going to be facing. You don't know what I'm going to be facing, but inevitably we face dilemmas like this. We face the buffet line of Satan's temptation. And he makes everything on the buffet line look like it's good, and he makes it all look like as though we'll never face the consequences of it. So let's pretend that you and I were given a 1-year free pass to Golden Corral, and we lived 1 mile from it, and we could go as many times as we wanted throughout that year, and we could eat at Golden Corral. I'm just going to tell you, folks, at some point in time, we better realize that everything that they have to offer is probably not in our best interest, right? If I did stick my head underneath the ice cream machine, and I did stick my head underneath the peanut butter dispenser, and I did stick my head under the soda fountain, and I just took in everything that my flesh wants to eat, what am I going to look like in a very short period of time? Well, Pastor, you don't have to wonder. Hey, I didn't appreciate that. I mean, come on, take it easy, all right? Take it easy, all right? I do not have to wonder what I would look like, okay? If I was able to eat in a place like that for a full year, and I just said to my flesh, flesh, whatever you want to have, go ahead and have it. Satan has put out the buffet line to tempt our flesh. And in this situation, it's Amnon who's lusting after his sister Tamar. And in his situation, he faces this dilemma. Am I going to follow in the steps of my father? Wow. I don't know how old Amnon was when the events occurred for David and Bathsheba, but in all likelihood, he was an adult. Hey, I know what my dad did when he came to the buffet line of Satan. When my dad woke up at the eventide and he looked off the balcony of his house and he saw that young lady, he gave in and he ate all that was available on Satan's buffet line. Am I going to follow in my dad's footsteps? I cannot tell you. I cannot count on one hand. I dare say the other preachers of the gospel and those that have been in ministry for years would agree with me tonight. I cannot tell you how many times I've watched young people grow up in homes where they should have said, I know what my dad did, I know what my mom did, and I'm not following in their footsteps. And yet time and again, I'd watch young ladies follow in the footsteps of their dads and moms, and I'd watch young men follow in the footsteps of their dad and moms, and take the very same path of destruction that their dads and moms chose. They'd come to youth department every Wednesday night. They'd come to youth services on Sunday mornings. They'd be at youth activities. They'd have every opportunity to be lifted up out of the decisions of their parents. And yet inevitably they'd find their way right into the same hole in the same gutter that their parents chose. And I'd look at it and I'd say, I just don't get it. I just don't understand why that young lady doesn't look at her dad and say, you know what? I am not going to marry someone like my dad because of the destructive nature of his drunkenness. And even though they've had all these opportunities to hear the truth and to follow the truth, they'd wind up going against the advice and counsel of spiritual leaders, and they'd go down the same hole that their dad had chosen by choosing someone to marry just like their dad. I've watched that time and time again, and my heart breaks because I'm saying to them, you of all people should be willing to stop the insanity and to choose a different path. You know what it was like to grow up in that kind of home. You know what it was like to have a dad who did those things or a mom who did those things. You know what that was like. You want to choose something far different. But they come to the buffet of Satan, and they're looking it all over. And so often they're thinking to themselves, I know what choice my parents made, and they walk in the very same path. He faces a dilemma. Do I feed my flesh? Do I follow my father? I know what my dad did with Bathsheba. He gave into the flesh. Perhaps it's even possible that Amnon could have said, you know, really the consequences weren't really that bad. I mean, I know he lost my baby brother, but he's married to Bathsheba. It kind of turned out pretty well for him. I don't think Amnon accounted for the 9 or so months that David wallowed in his own sin and the filth of his sin and the lack of the relationship with Almighty, or the lack of the fellowship with his Heavenly Father. So here's the dilemma. Do I feed the flesh? Do I feed the flesh? You face this dilemma. I face this dilemma. Are we going to give into the flesh at the buffet line that Satan has set out there for us? In some cases, are we going to follow in the steps of our fathers? Am I going to do what my dad did? I know what my dad saw. I know what my dad did. I know the outcome of it. Am I going to follow in his path? Or here's the third thing that is there in this dilemma. Am I going to forsake my friend? Look it down at the passage again, 1 Samuel chapter 13. He thought it hard for him to do anything to her. I can't do this. Oh, but I want to. But I cannot do this. Oh boy, I really want to. I cannot do this. He thought it a hard thing. He ran this in his mind over and over and over again. What am I going to do against my half-sister Tamar? He's played the tape, if you would. He's played the different scenarios, the different outcomes, the different avenues that he might take in this matter. But Amnon had a friend. In this dilemma, he has to make a choice to dump that friend or follow the friend's leadership in Satan's buffet. Do you ever have someone that says to you, here, try this, I think you'll like it? Sometimes that works out pretty good, sometimes that's not so good. I don't know if I've told you the story, maybe I have, but I was in Brazil, we bought the last Sprite on the shelf in a gas station. We got in the car, we were driving away, we're in São Paulo, we're on our way to a place called São Carlos, and someone bought the last Sprite in the gas station, and I think that Sprite had been there since 1975. And there's four of us in the car, I'm driving this vehicle, and someone cracks open that Sprite, takes a drink, and says, "That is horrible! Try this." That's how it always is. I remember the four of us in the car, okay? The four of us are in the car. He says, try this, it's terrible. Well, what are you going to do? I got to try it. So all four of us tried that Sprite, and I'm going to tell you right now, all four of us said, it was terrible. It was as though you had gone to the indoor location of the landfill, and you had swept up the juices off of the floor of the landfill and then carbonated it and squeezed it out of a towel into a Sprite bottle and put a cap on it. I'm telling you, it was bad. But we all had to try it. How often have you and I been in that same scenario, but not over like a drink or something like this in the physical realm, but it was in the spiritual realm, and you knew, I cannot cheat on this test. You thought it a hard thing to cheat on that test, but you had a friend. You thought it a hard thing to steal that item from that store, and you said, I just can't. My parents would be disappointed. I'd lose friendships over this. And you had a friend that came along and said, hey, no one's looking, and the camera's turned the other way. You can get out of the store before anyone will ever know it. And in that moment, you face this dilemma. Do I reject the leadership of this friend, or do I give in to the flesh? I cannot tell you again how many young people I've watched through the years in both the youth pastorate and in the pastorate that have listened to friends and paid dearly. Oh, if I don't participate in this, I mean, everyone else is doing it at the party. If I don't participate in this, I'm going to lose all these friends. And when we go to school tomorrow, I'll be the laughing stock. How many young people have thought to themselves that it's better to choose the friend and give in to the flesh? Now, I do not know the circumstances surrounding any of this, but someone just was telling me the story, and perhaps some of you saw this in the news reports. Three teenagers that were on Lee Chapel Road between 123 and the Fairfax County Parkway, and they were in a 2019 Lexus. It just happened about a week or so ago. They're all students, I think, at South, what's the school down here? South County. And if you know that section of Lee Chapel, when you get off of 123 and you know that section of Lee Chapel, it's up and down and up and down and up and down. The car leaves the roadway, and two of the youngsters are immediately killed in the accident, and I do not know the status of the third. I don't know all the circumstances that went on there. I don't want to imply that it was, you know, just one of the young people that had run amok. But I know that circumstances like that happen all the time. And young people make foolish decisions because they're trying to impress their friends. And they think to themselves, you know, if I impress my friend, I'll be popular in school, I'll be popular with this group, and it would be so much better to look that supposed friend in the eye and to say, I couldn't care less what you think about me. I'm not going to eat from the buffet line that Satan has to offer. This is the dilemma. This is the dilemma. Am I going to feed the flesh? Am I going to follow the footsteps of my father? Or am I going to forsake my friend? What should he have done? I think everybody here reading chapter 13 realizes he should have said, you know, Jonadab, you're no friend. You're no friend. If you are really a friend, you would tell me the 27 biblical reasons why I was just lusting after this young lady, and you would do everything you could to discourage me from taking this step. You are not a friend to me. But he did not forsake his friend. He listened to his friend. And just as we close this part of the story tonight, just looking at Amnon's dilemma, I couldn't help but think of Achan. God told the children of Israel, when you cross over the Jordan and you come into the promised land and you begin to defeat these enemies, the first enemy that you defeat, that whole city is consecrated unto me. And so everything in it, everything having to do with it, is to be consecrated to me. And for you, it's unclean and you should have nothing to do with it in touching it, keeping it, holding it, anything whatsoever to do with that. That whole city and everything in it is consecrated to me. Achan hears that from the leadership of Israel. He comes in. The walls of Jericho come down. However it went forth then, he's by himself and he sees Babylonian goods. He sees all these different gems or precious metals. And he says to himself, as he looks this way, and he looks that way, and no one else is around, he's there facing the dilemma of the buffet line of Satan's temptations. And he took it. And he hid it. And it cost his family. I think of Gehazi in 2 Kings chapter 5 with this the leprosy of Naaman. And the prophet said to Naaman, no, this was a miracle from God. You can't buy that miracle by giving me goods and everything like this. God is the one that did the work. And Gehazi overheard that conversation and he faced the dilemma. Naaman's willing to give it to us. Naaman is willing. It's not going to cost Naaman anything. He's got untold suits and robes and clothes. He's got all kinds of precious metal. He's not even going to miss any of this. 2 Kings chapter 5. Gehazi goes chasing after him. He faced the dilemma. He came to the buffet line of Satan. And Satan had it all spread out. And Gehazi had a choice. Am I going to feed the flesh? Very quickly, would you take your Bibles and go with me to James chapter 1. This is an important section for all of us to underline and or memorize. James chapter 1, let no man, verse number 13. Again, I'd encourage you, if you're in the habit of underlining or highlighting in your Bible and you don't have these verses highlighted, I'd do it tonight. Young people, if you can highlight this or underline it in a right way to always remember these verses, please listen to me tonight. Listen to what the Bible says. Let no man say when he is tempted. Let no man say when he comes to the buffet line of Satan's offerings, hey, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man, this is the decision, this is the dilemma. Every man is tempted. He comes to the buffet line that Satan has provided for the flesh. He's tempted. Should I have that? Should I have that? Should I have that? When he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Boy, there's so many enticing things on the buffet line. Yes, I want another scoop of that bread pudding. Yes, I want another bowl of that ice cream covered in peanut butter. Yes, I want another level of this or that. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse number 15, and by the way, this is truth. There's no escape from this truth in verse 15. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. All will be tempted. There is no sin in temptation. It is giving in to the temptation. Christ was tempted like in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And the Bible says, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Listen to me tonight. Giving in to temptation and the buffet line that Satan offers never works out for your benefit. It is always destructive. That's true for the man in the pulpit. As we have seen men in the pulpit that have given in to temptation and they have sinned and they have gone away from the path that God had for them. We've seen that from men in the pulpit and we've seen it from people in the pew. So what is the answer? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse number 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm at the buffet line in the Golden Corral, and there's an escape door. And I know I need to take it because all that's on the buffet is not good for my physical appetite. There's an escape path. There's an escape plan. I can get out. He will, with the temptation, make a way to escape. Amnon's dilemma. He faced the temptation of the flesh. What's he going to do? You can feed the flesh. You can. You can even possibly follow in the footsteps of those that have gone before you, and where you've watched dad or mom make foolish decisions, you can go in that very same path. You can say, I'm just going to do what they did. I mean, after all, what's the big deal for their life? It seems to have turned out okay. And you don't even know a tenth of the heartache that they've suffered because of the choice that they made. You can say to that supposed friend, you are no friend. You are, in fact, a friend of the devil and a foe to my life. And I'm not listening to you no matter what it costs me. In popularity and other friendships, I am not going down the path you've gone down. Or you can follow in the footsteps of Amnon. Again, for you tonight, it may not be a dilemma over the physical desires towards another, as it was with Amnon, but it may be something far more difficult, and you just think to yourself, I just cannot get the victory. Well, my friend, you can. God says He's made a way of escape. And He wants us, when faced with this dilemma, what am I going to do? He wants us to see the outcome of what's really behind the billboards of Satan's offering. It looks so good and tempting on the billboard, but I've got to realize that it's death and destruction behind it. Now, we're going to follow that all the way out in Amnon's life. But would you learn with me tonight Amnon's dilemma? What did he do? What will you do when faced with a similar dilemma? Let's pray. Father, thank you for this passage and this story. And again, I pray that you'd help us to learn from these individuals and the choices that were made. Help us to see that there is actually a way of escape. And we can choose the right path. Work in hearts tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name. Would you just stay there in your place tonight and seated in your pew? And I'm going to ask the instrumentalist tonight to play the song number 501, Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior. I'd ask you to just remain seated because of the seriousness of the nature of what we've discussed. We know the dilemma that Amnon was in, and it's quite possible tonight that you'd look me in the face and you say, that's not my dilemma. But some of you know full well what you know the dilemma that you face. You know the lures of the buffet line that Satan has presented. And by the way, he presents it over and over again. It may be that the first time you come to that buffet line of the flesh, that you're able to have the victory and that you'll say, no, I'm not partaking in any of that. You'll think you'll never come across that again, but oh, how often Satan will throw the buffet line back out there just to see. Would you pray tonight, Lord Jesus? Guide my fight with the flesh. And when I face the dilemma of giving into the flesh or following after the Spirit, Lord, help me to choose wisely.